let us just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this weekend away. We thank you for opening Scripture up to us in a way that is challenging and life-giving. Be with us now as we continue our journey of discovery. Help us to be transformed and renewed of mind, that we may know your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the little devotion actually is from last Sunday when we had the gospel of Jesus and the coin, you know, who's on the coin. Jesus gave us a gift when he told us to give to God the things that are God's. He reminded us that we belong to God, and in God we live and move and have our being. It is there where we find our true identity as persons loved and made by God. And that's very true of what we've been learning and meditating on this weekend. I'm going to talk now as we, I may not stay in that 35 minutes, we'll see how that goes. We continue with Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So I'm going to just read that verse again. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I want to share a little story with you. And anyone who has ever been a parent in recent times or is a grandparent probably knows this story. The very hungry caterpillar. Does anyone know that? Well, if you don't know it, it's a great children's book. And I know my boys, amongst that and Goodnight Moon and all these other books, they wanted it over and over and over. So a little sort of encapsulated view of it. On a Sunday morning, a red-faced caterpillar hatches from an egg and begins to look for some food. He eats through increasing quantities of fruit on the following 5 days. One apple on Monday, two pears on Tuesday, three plums on Wednesday, four strawberries on Thursday, and five oranges on Friday. And then on Saturday, he has an enormous feast with one piece of chocolate cake, one ice cream cone, one pickle, one slice of Swiss cheese, one slice of salami, one lollipop, one piece of cherry pie, one sausage, one cupcake, and one slice of watermelon. By the end of Saturday, the inevitable happens and the caterpillar gets ill with a stomach ache from overeating too much. But by Sunday morning, the caterpillar recovers and returns to a more sensible diet by eating through a large green leaf before spinning a cocoon, in which he remains for the following 2 weeks. Later, the big fat caterpillar emerges as a beautiful butterfly with large, gorgeous, multicolored wings. We are like the caterpillar. We all come into the world the same way. We're all born the same way. We all start out the same way. But then we head off on our own path, progressing, growing, consuming. But there's a point in our life that even though we have achieved so much, we aren't happy. Our stomach aches. We've consumed so much. We've bought into the culture and of this age that denies God. We ache for something because something is missing. And then God calls us to be set apart, to be holy and acceptable, to spend time in prayer, in study, in worship, in retreat. And then from that time, something great emerges. A new person, a new creation, a new start. And that's what we've been doing here this weekend. We've stepped out of the busyness and craziness of our life. We've put aside our responsibilities for a short time. And we've allowed God, through wonderful music, through scripture, through prayer, to be fed. But to be fed in a different way, one that we don't gorge on and receive pain, but one that brings healing and that lifts us up and transforms us. And that's what Paul is talking about, that we need to be transformed. And the word that is used as transformed in Scripture is metamorphosis, or metamorphosis is what it comes from when we think of the English. And metamorphosis is exactly what happened to that caterpillar. Anyone who remembers the basic biology, a tadpole becomes a frog, a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. And one of the only other times in the Bible we have this word that is used, as we interpret as transformed, is at the transfiguration of Jesus. We're called to be transformed. We're called to reflect that very light and likeness of Jesus. But the way we get to that is through the renewing of our mind, as Paul says in verse 2. The renewing of our mind. There's so much junk that goes into our minds through our life that Paul says that we need to renew our mind, to seek a new way of vision, of life, a new way of relating. And the renewing of the mind is all about a new vision, a new moral vision, a new knowledge. Because only then can we see the world differently and see the world with the eyes of Jesus. And only when our mind is renewed can we think in different ways. Only when our mind is renewed can we be able to put aside being conformed by the world, that world which tries to mold us as if you're pouring cake mixture into a mold, so that we be the same as everyone else. We're called to be formed, as I talked about in Jeremiah 18, as the potter. Formed. Individually, God forms each of us and reforms us and reforms us. Because transformation, as Paul understands it, is an ongoing process. It's ongoing. It's not a one-time thing. And the wonderful image in the potter's house with that clay is that when something's formed, if it's not perfect yet, it's reformed. You know, we talked about that good work that God has already begun in us? And it continues, and it continues. And at different stages of our life, God squishes us back together again and reforms something new. We're a new creation, but it's a constant change that goes on in our life. And the renewing of our mind begins with the work of the Spirit working through us. Because only when we can step aside and allow God to work in us can that process begin. And then we can step aside from that being conformed to the world, and we be the ones who are the living sacrifice, right? The living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual or reasonable or logical worship, where our whole life is that giving back to God, our whole self. So I wonder, as we sit here today, as we ponder all the things we need to get back to, right? What stage are you in this Christian transformation? What stage are you at? Are you in the larva stage? Are you still not even at that point? You're still in the gorging yourself stage? I don't know about you. I like the Mandarin, personally. I love buffets. But even with buffets, we still have to kind of look at it. What do I really want and how much do I want? And we as Christians can still enjoy the world, that wonderful big giant buffet of God's creation, but we can pick and choose what we want to consume. If I have an allergy, I'm not going to consume this particular food. Anyone with a peanut allergy, like one of my boys, he doesn't go near anything with peanuts. He has no choice. But we have a choice in the world of what we want to be part of, how we want to speak, how we want to act. Don't think that you have no choice. You do have choice. And you could either be part of that crowd that says, I don't believe in God, God is dead, as the movie said. Or we can say, God is not dead. God is alive. God is working in my life. And I'm not going to be part of that crowd. I'm going to be part of the community, the communion of saints, those who have set the road for us, those who have walked the path, the faithful. And if they can do it, we can do it. Because, you know, the interesting thing about saints, they weren't perfect. But what they were able to do is not conform to the world and allow the Holy Spirit to work through their lives and to discern the will of God, of what God wanted them to do. And they did what was needed. They made a difference in the world. They allowed that sunshine to shine through them, right? As we always talk about, isn't that what we do on All Saints with the kids talks? The sun, you know, the stained glass windows and the sun shines through the saints. We can be those people. Not perfect, but vessels of the Holy Spirit. So again, the transformation, you know, it's not a hard thing, but it can be painful at times. But it is ongoing. And if we don't get it right the first time, there's opportunities, constant opportunities for change within our lives. But the other thing is, we're responsible to be part of that transformation. God is the catalyst, for sure. God is the one who taps us on the shoulder. God is the one who calls us by name. God is the one who sends us out. But we still have to be open. We still have to be part of that transformation and make some concrete efforts to change our life if we're going to allow our minds to be renewed so that we can have a new vision and see and participate in what God's will might be for our life. We have to be active participants. If we think that we could just be passive, it's not going to work either. You know that story, right, of the man who knows a flood is coming, right? And the flood starts coming and the water starts rising. And he goes onto the top of his roof, and God sends someone with a boat, but doesn't. He says, no, God's going to save me. God's going to save me. Eventually, a helicopter comes. He says, no, God's going to save me. God's going to save me. And what happens, of course? The guy eventually drowns, right? The flood overtakes him. Then when he gets to heaven, you know, he says, well, God, I thought you were going to save me. He says, well, didn't I send you a boat? Didn't I send you a helicopter? You know, we have to be open to God's work in our lives. We got to be open to where God is going to direct us and how God wants to use us. How does God want to use us? We're so busy making demands of God, we never sit still enough to listen. You know, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. How we renew our minds is to have the opportunity to listen. So stepping away in a weekend like this is part of that process. Because you made an effort to put aside whatever it was, and maybe you had to give up something for this weekend that was really important. Maybe a family obligation, a work obligation. Whatever it was, you're here. And because you're here, God knows you are allowing yourselves to be open to something new, something creative, maybe planting a seed, maybe it's already continuing to nurture something that's there, but you're here. You're here. Renewing our mind is also like renovating a house. And I know that personally, for anyone on Facebook with me knows, for the last year I've been renovating a house. 1980 house that we bought a year ago, and it meant ripping down walls and gutting the kitchen and creating a new bathroom, and I'm still in the process, but getting closer. And my friend Eugene Berlinbach was part of the help of my renovation. He was the expert in helping me to reframe because of his own background in construction work. And it's interesting, I look around the house and I see everything I look at that he worked with me, I see a little bit of him there. When people look at us, do they see that little bit of God in us? That's a question we need to really reflect on as we leave here. God is doing a renovation in your life. And it's been taking down and building up, that renewing, that transformation. How much of that do people see? I know people could come into my house and see the wonderful backsplash I did for the first time ever in the kitchen after my wife nagged me for a whole year. Not nagged, encouraged me. Encouraged me. Anyway. So they can see that, but when God's working in us, renovating us, transforming us, can people see that? Transformation leads to a new heart, a new way of living, a new way of seeing. And I love the verses out of Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 27. And I've shared that with you already. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. God gives us that new heart. God pours out his spirit into us, but we still have to abide and be obedient and follow what God wants for us. That's the caveat in this verse. And then in Ezekiel 37, that wonderful story, that vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones, Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. I won't read the whole thing. I think most of us know the story. But verse 14, again, I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. A new spirit. That's all about that transformation. And when our heart is changed, again, we have a new way of looking at the world. Transformation leads to new vision. New vision allows us to be renewed. And when we're renewed, we can be that presentable body that we talked about the last couple of days, that living sacrifice. And when we have new vision and we see what God wants in our lives, we start discerning God's will. We start discerning what God wants for us. And what does God want for you? What does God want for you in your life? I've been through many times in my life where I've totally changed direction. Sometimes I didn't realize it until I looked back. Originally, I went into military college. It was the greatest thing. I thought, wow, here's my future. But God had started working on me that would bear fruit a few years later when I ended up being baptized, entering into ministry. And then throughout that time, you know, again, God worked on me in different ways. Where was I going to go after my initial curacy? And St. Margaret's Barry, which will always be my baby, no one wanted it. It was to be closed. It was to be closed. No priest wanted to go there to this little mission church in a plaza that had gone through some ups and downs and it was dying. They had 6 months left before they were to be closed. And I said to Bishop Taylor Price, who was the Bishop of York Simcoe, I want to go there. He said, what? I think that's where God wants me to go. Well, if you want to. You know, well, do whatever you can with it, because if not, well, we'll be moving you again. We don't know where God's going to lead us, and I didn't know what was the way God was going to use me there. That's just one example, but in your own lives, how has God used you to make a difference, to make a change? Maybe in your own family. Have you been able to make a difference in the life of your spouse, your children? Maybe your larger family. How has God used you? And sometimes it takes a lot of prayerful reflection to see how God has touched your life, has directed you. And that's part of discernment. Discernment is to come to know the will of God. And people sometimes throw that word out. Oh, I'm discerning. But true discernment means listening. True discernment means to listen to where God wants to lead you. And you know what? It's not about being clergy. It's about just being faithful. Because every single person here has a gift and gifts that God wants to use. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do and go? Where is God sending you? And right away, some people may say, well, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm pretty comfortable where I am. I'm comfortable with what I'm doing. I'm comfortable where I live. But don't be surprised if God is saying to you, nope, get up, take up your mat, and go. Those are the uncomfortable moments. Think of Abraham. Leave everything you know. Go to a country you don't know, but I'm going to use you and make you a great nation. Or the disciples, when Jesus says, come and follow me, and they left everything to follow Jesus. Then he throws at them things like, well, take up your cross and follow me too, you know. We need to be transformed in mind, renewed, so that we can be that living sacrifice, to become more like Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Again, another passage that many of us are well familiar with. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sort of relate to what we've been talking about the last couple of days? Putting aside ourself, not being drawn into the world that has ambition, the world that has conceit, the world that says, I am the center, but be of the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. And when we allow God to work in our minds, in our hearts, in our body, we can be used as that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. We have new, clearer vision, a new moral vision, a new knowledge of life, of the world. And we can then truly discern what God's will is for us. It's very powerful. But it's not easy. That's the whole thing. It's not easy. And that reason a lot of people don't come and dedicate and commit their lives to Christ is because Jesus makes demands on us. It's not all the warm, fuzzy stuff, although that exists. But to be a Christian means that we have entered into a membership that says, okay, now the work starts. The work starts. Not only are you going to be asked to change the world and make a difference and bring in those elements of the kingdom, but gospel living means working on yourself, that renovation of yourself, the renewing of yourself, so that I can use you more fully. Because you're not just heirs of the kingdom, you are brothers and sisters with Christ, and you're going to walk hand in hand with him, and you are going to get down and dirty. You're going to get down and dirty. And some people, oh, I don't want to get dirty. You know, I don't want to have to get mud on me. I don't want to have to get all messed up. I kind of like things the way they are. The status quo is easy. Oh, why did you bring us out into this desert? The people cried out to Moses. At least we had food back in our slavery in Egypt. Right? There's so much unknown and uncertainty in terms of life. But the one thing we do know, if we keep our eyes on Christ, is that anything we go through, we don't do it alone. Not only is he with us, but we have community. And we talked about that. So the ways that we can be transformed, the ways that we can have life breathe back into us, is to be in community, to be in prayer, to be in worship, to be fed, to be strengthened, to be hold fast to what needs to be, right? We talked about that. And the interesting thing about worship, what we're doing here this morning, is that worship is formative. Now, Peter Mills had to go back to his church this morning to lead worship. He's not here today, but some of his parishioners are here. And we talked very briefly yesterday about a professor that he reads and watches videos, a guy named James K.A. Smith from Calvin College. And the interesting thing, I did some checking on this guy, and what he says in some of his articles is exactly what I believe too, that worship itself is formative. Why do we come together in community? Part of it is that breaking of bread and prayers. Scripture is very clear about that. We come together to worship, to encounter the holy, because prayer and worship is powerful, connecting with God. And when we do that, we connect with the Holy Spirit and then reorientates us, recircuits us, if you want to say. Works on that renovation towards godly living. We come together to be shaped. And that's all, again, part of that transformation, that renewing of our minds, so that we may discern the will of God. So this morning, as we come to finish our time together, we join with the communion of saints who gather with us, that wonderful cloud of witnesses as we break bread, as we share. We connect with 2,000 years of faith, those who have allowed the light of God to shine through them and the Spirit to shape them and direct them. With all their warts and blemishes, the saints did the work of Christ, even to death itself, some of them. We, in turn, are called to do the work of Christ, to be that living and acceptable sacrifice, and to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, to renovate us, to recircuit us, so that we will have a new clarity of mind, a new vision for the work of Jesus, to see Jesus in other people, the eyes of Jesus, the ears, the mouth, the hands of Jesus, to turn us into the very image of Christ so that we can partner with him and bring the kingdom of God into a reality, even a little piece of the kingdom, so that other people can gain some hope. That's what it's all about to be a Christian, to bring new life to those around us, while at the same time bringing life to ourselves, and looking forward, of course, to that day of life with Christ eternally. So may God bless all of you. You, as I've said at the beginning of the service, have been a blessing to me. It's been wonderful to reconnect with some of you who I knew from many years ago, but to hear your wisdom, to listen to you in your group discussions, to hear your desires for God. And if you allow those desires for God to open the door to that, the Spirit in you, I see only great things for each of you and for the church. The church has a role in the world that it will never change. How we are church might change, but the power and presence of Christ and the truth of Christ will never change. Amen. So later on, when you go into your groups, I do have a couple of questions. How can I renew my mind? How can I do that? How do I allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that needs to be done to renovate me? I like that word, renovation. And the interesting thing about renovation, from those who've done it long before me, says it never ends either. There's always something more. And isn't that a wonderful image to hold on to? There's always something more to be done in our own lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our ministries. Because we all have ministries, even if you don't see it as that. Every time you strike out into the world as a Christian, you have a ministry to those around you. So the other part of the question would be, is what is my part in the process of renewal? What is my part? And then, whether you can, this might be something you take home with you and you reflect on, maybe you journal on, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? And discernment isn't an instant thing. It can take a long, long time. But I just ask that when you do go home, in your prayers, to ask God. Ask God, what is your will for me? And maybe as time goes by, some of that will be given to you. Where is God leading each of you as you continue your journey with Christ? Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for reminding us that we are loved and blessed and graced by Christ. Help us to live lives holy and acceptable. Help us to be open to the transformation and work of the Holy Spirit, that you may renew our lives and change our hearts. Help us to have new vision. Vision of the world, of what it could be. A vision of what I can be, what my family can be, my church can be. Just continue to bless us and guide us through the Holy Spirit and blow the breath of life into each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.